Just a little bit about myself before you get started, so you have some background. Mm-hmm. I go to Liberty High School. I'm involved in our broadcasting program, like I told you a few minutes ago. That's like the main thing that I do. And then outside of school, I'm really involved in film and things like that. So I kind of like the creative side of broadcasting and kind of combining that with theater and also documentary filmmaking. So I think it's awesome that I get to talk to you this afternoon.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. My first question is, what led you into the field of journalism?
Well, like you, when I was in high school and I went to Oak Park High School, I was in theater and speech and forensics and did a lot of art and for speech and theater. And that kind of led to a love of storytelling, and that kind of parlayed into doing morning announcements. As we were talking about, you do a daily production and taping of that. We did in the microphone over the PA system.
Yes.
You know, it's so archaic to hear talk about it now. But, you know, they had tryouts for it, I suppose. And I got that position along with another young man, and that led into becoming radio reporters for Oak Park High School at a local radio station. At the time, it was WHB, and they did, you know, top 40 hits.
Gotcha.
And we were like the correspondents for the high school, and I was on the school newspaper. And so that, along with background in theater, just kind of, you know, transformed into journalism. And like you, I like the storytelling aspect of it and, you know, talking to people and the creative process.
Right.
I really liked being, going out and getting the information and then coming back and putting all of that information together and telling someone's story, making it compelling.
Right.
and doing that. And what you guys are doing on the high school level is so far beyond what we were doing. You know, print is, you know, is still very similar,
right,
to what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
The process is different. It's all digital now.
Right.
You know, we were going to the printing presses and printing them, you know, a week before they were coming out. So that's different. But the process and the creativeness and, you know,
right,
putting a story to paper is still the same. So, you know, that is kind of what led me into journalism, and so very, very similar.
Okay.
to what you guys are doing. However, the advancements in technology and how you do it is vastly different than when I was in high school. And I just think it's fascinating that what you're doing now is just, you know, right on the edge of what we're doing at the TV station. I mean, when I see the equipment, because I speak at, when I go back to my alma mater and speak to their broadcasting classes and mm-hmm. look at their equipment and what they're editing on,
right,
it's very similar to what our editors use.
Yes.
And what our photographers use. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, these guys are going to be stepping out of high school or college and can walk right in and be editors and producers, you know, at a professional level.
Yeah.
Because they've already got this experience and know-how at, you know, in high school, which I think is phenomenal.
So,
did that answer your question?
I thought that was a great answer. So I kind of thought of a side question off of that. You talked about how technology has changed over time. I know a big part of our journalism is using social media and kind of getting story ideas from social media or incorporating it into the production of our daily show. So could you talk about how you view social media and how it affects the production on a professional level?
Well, there's two questions there. How social media affects the stories that we cover and story ideas. And we do get a lot of story ideas that are prompted through social media. People that post on our Facebook page or Twitter, you know, that our viewers are on the front line of the community. They are out there and they're the eyes and ears of what's going on. You know, they see when you know, there's smoke and fire over in Liberty mm-hmm. in front of the fish market.
Yep.
And they, you know, what's this big plume of smoke over here at 291 and 210? Mm-hmm. You were on the phone.
Yep.
You know, we get that faster than we can hear the fire department dispatch and fire trucks to the scene. They know when someone, you know, there's been a layoff at Sprint, mm-hmm. for example, or another major company. You know, we get those tips that come in through social media, whereas before, somebody might be hesitant to call into a news station and, may I, you know, go through the, you know, rigmarole of the, you know, going through the operator and getting through the news department, posting it on a social media website or a Twitter, or, you know, leaving something. It's just instantaneous, and we can respond much faster. And it has changed the ball game on how we cover news and how we can respond to those situations so much faster. And, you know, and we can ask them, well, what are you seeing? Well, tell me more about it. And mm-hmm. then if we get three or four more posts with people saying, oh my gosh, it's a huge fire, or, you know, it's a big deal. And then they're sending in pictures mm-hmm. and then they're sending in videos. I mean, it's mind-boggling on how social media has changed the way that we cover news, because we have people sending us video sources that we can use on the air that has never happened before. On the flip side, how has that impacted our day-to-day coverage and how we use social media? Now our reporters and we have a whole web department. 10 years ago, we didn't have a web department.
Right.
We all didn't even think we had a website, or let alone a 4 or 5 man department. So that has completely evolved in the mm-hmm. last 10 years. That is a 24/7 hour department that is completely constantly updating, and has to keep stories fresh. The reporters, when they're out on a story, they have to immediately start posting to Twitter and Facebook. This is what I'm covering. Mm-hmm. Before, a reporter would go out and spend, let's say, 6 hours covering a story, come back, log it, and then do their front the piece or go live. Now they're going out and posting updates. This is what I'm covering. Mm-hmm. I just interviewed the mayor. Hear what he has to say coming up at 5. You know, so they're multitasking the entire time they're working for interviews and mm-hmm. working for different aspects of the story. So they're not only making phone calls, they're keeping our viewers updated. They're updating the web department, so the web department can update our Facebook page. And it's a constant churning of information, because if they don't get it from us, they're going to get it someplace else. So we have to keep on driving them and giving them a reason to keep on coming back. One thing that was hard to get used to is when you had exclusive information or you had an exclusive story coming up at 5, if you had something and, you know, the web department posted it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon that, you know, we had this piece of information.
Right.
Everybody else has it now. And we watch all the other stations, and by gosh, when we hear that they have something, you know, that someone else, you know, that we maybe didn't hear about or heard about and didn't follow up on, or, you know, if a reporter tweets something out about something happening at City Hall, then we're on the phone to City Hall. So mm-hmm. the days of having something exclusive and holding it till 5 or 6 or 9 and 10 yeah. are kind of gone.
Yes.
And that, that's just the new reality. Mm-hmm. But social media is, I think, for the most part, has been advantageous, because it gives more platforms for us to promote ourselves, promote what our newscasts are coming up, promote the our programs, segments like Pay It Forward, Reaching for Excellence, and promoting some of the good stuff the station does and the good stories that we do. So I think overall it's been a positive, and you have to embrace that's the way, you know, TV is moving.
Absolutely.
So I think it's been a positive move.
So going back to that moment when you graduated high school, kind of what was your mindset going into further education and kind of breaking into the professional aspect of broadcasting?
When I graduated, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. There wasn't a maybe I should do this, maybe I knew I wanted to do 4 years. I was going to go to Missouri State University. I was going to get a part-time job at a radio station. I was going to graduate with a resume tape, and I was going to get a job and eventually move into TV and get a job as a reporter and work my way into an anchor position. That was my career path. That was my focus, and I did pretty much that. I went to Missouri State University. Within the first year, I got a job at the campus radio station, and I met a program director at a commercial radio station, one of my nighttime classes, and I said, listen, whenever you have an opening at your station, I'd like to audition for it and, you know, get on there. And within that year, he had an opening, so I auditioned, and they did like news cut-ins, and it was an automated station, if you can believe that. And you changed the tapes, and I did news cut-ins on the FM side, and I think the AM side was country, and I did a shift over there and did promotions for them. So I did that up until the day I graduated, and then got my tapes together and got a job full-time in radio after that. Eventually, I was working in radio and wanted to move into TV, so I had a relationship with a TV station and said, look, I need to get a tape together. Can I come over and, you know, carry the tripod for your reporters on the weekends and do any grunt work you need me to do so I can get a tape together? And the reporters were like, sure. we'll take you. We'll take some extra help. So that's what I did. And they would give me their raw tapes, and then I would take them and put my stories together with their help, and got a tape together, and eventually got a job in TV. So it's kind of a roundabout way of getting a job in television, but I eventually did, and then worked my way. It was a very small market. It was in Evansville, Indiana. And then I eventually worked into bigger markets and always wanted to move back to Kansas City, and then eventually did. I think, did that answer your question?
Oh, I'm not sure. Of course it did.
But,
yeah,
but I was pretty much focused when I left high school that that was the career path that I wanted, and I had my goals set to do that.
So if you had to give one piece of advice for someone trying to follow in similar footsteps, what would it be?
I would say go to college, get a part-time job, do some internships, and get as much experience as you can in college. I think, you know, pretty much college stations anymore, you graduate with the technology and experience you need to get a job right out of college. At that time, there wasn't a TV station on the campus of Missouri State University. I didn't have a tape to put together, but now I think everybody in broadcast journalism graduates with a resume, you know, that you can go start applying for jobs. And keep your options open. A lot of people graduate and want an anchor job in, you know, Atlanta or Dallas. You know, well, sometimes you need to take a job maybe in Wichita or, you know, a smaller market or Springfield, and move up.
Right.
Persevere. I know sometimes there is a lot of rejection and disappointment in television because there is so much competition for jobs. For one job opening, there might be 200 or 300 applicants for a position, especially in a Kansas City or a Chicago or, you know, larger market.
Right.
So I would say perseverance and determination and would be my words of advice, because that's how I got to Kansas City. I had a tape and I would bring it back to and see all of the news directors every time I came in for Christmas. I would make appointments with all of the news directors, and I mean, they knew we were on a first name basis. And for like 4 or 5 years, I would see all of them. Well, within like 1 or 2 days, I'd drop off my tape. You know, we don't have any openings. And I'm like, well, you know, please keep me in mind. And they were all very friendly, and they would always see me. So I knew that if they didn't, if they weren't really interested in hiring me, they wouldn't keep on seeing me.
Right.
So I knew that they, I was at least on the, their radar, and I just wasn't in what they didn't have an opening for what I fit. So I eventually got a job in St. Louis and thought, well, you know, I'm not going to worry about a job in Kansas City anymore, and kind of put that on the back burner. Then I eventually ended up in Connecticut, and then out of the blue, a news director called me from WDAF and said, we have a 9-5 and 9 anchor position in Kansas City. Would you be interested? I said, yes, I would. So, but it was because of all the relationship that I had made with him over the years. Wore him down, perhaps, but you know, and I think having being a native of Kansas City, I think that is advantageous to work in your own, in your hometown. I know the difference between Kansas City North and North Kansas City. I explain it to people all the time, and it's still anyway.
So, just a couple more questions. So you've touched on a lot of this, so. If you feel like you're repeating yourself, just say so. But if you could just describe any other aspects you haven't mentioned of the journalism field that have changed since you first began working.
I think the instantaneousness, if that's a word, if it's not, I just invented it.
I believe it's a word.
It is. I think that has changed. The 24/7 news cycle is just, is unbelievable. If people want... if there's breaking news, people, no matter where it is, if it's Nepal or, you know, wherever, they expect to see the latest news, when they want it, whenever they want it. CNN is on 24/7, Fox News, you know, they expect to see the newest, latest, whenever they turn on the news. And our research has shown that younger kids don't even watch those channels. They get it from iPads and, you know, they get it electronically or, you know, from the internet.
Right.
So if you can't get your news instantaneous to your viewers or to whomever, then you're going to be left behind. Because people want on-demand news, and that I think has completely changed. For people to come home and want to watch the news at 5 and 6 is what we want them to do, but that that mind shift is changing, and so, you know, it's our challenge to get people to still want to do that.
Right.
And I think we still do a pretty good job at that, but that appointment television is what we call it, is definitely changing because, you know, people, I can't be there, you know, even for a movie or a sitcom. I'll just record it.
Right.
Why should why should I have to be home at 8 o'clock to watch, you know, I don't know. I don't even know what's on anymore. American Idol. I know that's on. Why should I be home to watch that? You know, unless it's a season finale or, you know, someone's going to win Survivor.
Right.
You know, there's no reason to not to record it. You know. So
right.
I think instant being having to be instantaneous and people wanting that is what has changed the most.
Okay, about 5 minutes left. Okay, any final questions?
Last questions. Yep, this is the last one. So this is just kind of a fun one. If you had to interview one person in the world, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
That is a tough question.
It's supposed to be fun, but it's probably tough too. It's tough for me to answer. I didn't even think about it myself. That'd be difficult.
Who would you?
Oh gosh.
Want to interview?
Man, I don't know.
I think of all the politicians.
Yeah.
I think George Washington would be, pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. Hey, found, the first president and. Mm-hmm.
Probably my favorite filmmaker is Wes Anderson, mm-hmm. So probably him.
I would probably go with a historical figure mm-hmm. or something, somebody, made an impact.
Absolutely.
On the world or the United States or something, something like that. Mm-hmm. Lincoln, I don't know. Something major like that.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I think that's all I have. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No. What are you what are your plans?
Well, I'm going to Webster University in St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to be majoring in film and video production. So, probably would prefer to be on the creative side of things, whether it's a TV show or, a short film production or a long film production. But I certainly wouldn't be opposed to working at a news station either because mm-hmm. of the experience I've gained through high school. So, mm-hmm. Kind of like you mentioned, I think people my age are very lucky to have those opportunities this early on. So that's helped shape me a lot.
Mm-hmm. Do you have your mindset on any, companies or any... are those opportunities in the Midwest or?
I would probably prefer to stay near here, but I know that a lot of the best opportunities are going to be elsewhere, as far as like bigger companies or things like that. One of my favorite TV shows is 48 Hours.
Uh-huh.
So I think, being a reporter on that or just other TV shows, I think just forming a bond with a group of people and working with them for several years would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, if you ever have an opportunity to do an internship or meet somebody from one of those shows, form a relationship. And so they can become one of your mentors. So you can, hey, what do you think about this? Or, one of the things that I found is people, when you have people in those positions or jobs, they can help connect you to the right people mm-hmm. and get your resume seen or, hey, this guy, they can help you rise above mm-hmm. the thousands of applicants.
Right.
So, if they're in town or you guys go, if you somehow, have an opportunity to interact with mm-hmm. with a film crew, try to establish a relationship with someone.
Okay.
That can, at some, that you can send your work, hey, could you critique this for me? Mm-hmm. What do you think about this? Just occasionally, send them little, so you're on their radar mm-hmm. and you can form some type of a mentor relationship and then they can help you along okay. with one of those shows. If that's what your yeah. ultimate goal is.
Right.
I had a friend when we were in Evansville and a correspondent on the national, for NBC mm-hmm. and I can't remember who it was. They came to town. Maybe they were covering a president. Their goal was to become a national correspondent. Well, mm-hmm. this correspondent came to town and of course, after the president left and everything, everybody went out to the bars afterwards and had drinks. And, he was just like, this is what you have my dream job. I really want to do that someday. And he's like, well, hey, send me your tape and I'll see. And eventually they formed a relationship. He kept on sending them tapes and got them critiqued. And eventually he got up through the ranks of NBC. He got a job being a regional correspondent and
wow.
then eventually became a national correspondent.
Wow.
I had no interest in doing that, but I thought, that guy knew exactly what he was doing, mm-hmm. and he found the guy that would help him do that.
Okay.
So find that person that will help you do that.
Good piece of advice.